Well, thanks for joining me today. Taking you up to Padre baseball at 1 o'clock from Scottsdale. Padres taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks, and one of the gentlemen will be calling that ball game along with Ted Leitner. Our good buddy Bob Scanlon joins us on the Corky's Hotline. Mr. Scanlon, good afternoon, and another beautiful day here in San Diego, and I know it's a beautiful day in Scottsdale for baseball.
Coach, always great to talk with you, buddy. Yeah, absolutely gorgeous out here today. We're at Salt Rivers Field, of course, the field where the Diamondbacks and the Rockies share the complex here. It is a big league stadium. It almost doesn't feel like spring training. The stadium is so big league. But, yeah, we're looking forward to some Cactus League baseball today.
Hey, Bob, I wanted to ask you a question outside the Padres here, and we'll get to the Padres in a minute. One of the biggest topics right now, and it's not Alex Rodriguez, believe it or not, is the Chris Bryant story with the Chicago Cubs and whether or not he'll make the opening day roster. Of course, most of the people here in San Diego have heard that name quite a bit. He was a great All-American and record-setting ball player for Rich Hill at USD. I know today he's playing left field, but he's supposed to be a third baseman. And, you know, because of they don't want to start his clock, there's talk that he may not come up for the first couple, 3 weeks of the season. How do you look at that?
You know, it's an interesting question, and I think that it comes down to this. I don't think the Cubs believe that this is the year that they're ready to go to the playoffs, because if I think they do believe that, look, if you think you're a playoff team this year, you don't mess with somebody's time clock. It doesn't matter. It's more important to win baseball games and get to the postseason. Now, if you don't think you're quite ready, then I understand why they're trying to push that back, because this guy's going to be a marquee player, and every year that they can push back the arbitration, every year they can push back the free agency, that's strengthening the organization over the long run. So is it fair to the player? No. Are they going to probably do it? Yeah. Do I understand why they're doing it? Yeah. it is what it is. And the kid obviously is, he's ready to make an impact, and they're playing him in left field a little bit, so that the guess is, because Mike Gault, the other third baseman, is doing a nice job at third base. So I think they're looking at it now as, look, when he is ready, when we do get past whatever date they decide. Look, if they don't want to go to free agency after 7 years, they can call him up after a few weeks. If they're really concerned about him being a Super 2, they've got to wait until late May or early June to make sure that he clears that hurdle. But in either case, he's starting to play a little bit of left field, and maybe they feel like, let's get that bat in the lineup and see what can happen.
Hey, Bob, let's talk a little bit about the fifth spot in the rotation. Brandon Morrow scratched, blister on his right ring finger. Hopefully that's not going to be more than a few days. But Odrysamir Despaigne getting the start today in the battle for the fifth rotation spot. How are you seeing that right now?
Well, it's I don't know how much of a battle it's really been. I mean, I know that early on they said it was going to be Morrow and Despaigne, Whistler and Erlen all going for that last spot. But honestly, I think it was more between Morrow and Despaigne. And quite frankly, I think Morrow was the guy that they sort of wanted to have grab that job all along. And I don't think we've seen the best that Brandon Morrow has to offer, but he's not pitched terribly. So, it was his job to lose. He's not lost it. Despaigne has not pitched amazingly well to take it away from him. Both pitchers have done a nice job this spring training. Unfortunate that Morrow has the blister that you mentioned, kind of in a weird spot, too, on the ring finger. That's not the normal place that you get a blister. That being said, I think he's still the number five starter come opening day, unless something dramatic happens here in the last couple of weeks. Despaigne has thrown nicely. The whole thing with Despaigne also, Coach, is, okay, if he doesn't make the number five spot in the rotation, does he go to the bullpen as a long man? Well, have you looked at the bullpen lately and how deep that is? I mean, the whole topic coming into spring training was, will Will Myers be able to play center field? And, of course, the third base competition between Middlebrooks and Solarte. But honestly, I think the toughest decisions might be in this bullpen.
Well, they got about 11 guys in that bullpen right now, don't they?
They do. Well, you've got Benoit, who's going to be there, obviously, Vincent Thayer. Quackenbush all did a great job last year. Torres was a part of that bullpen as well. But now you've brought in Brandon Maurer, who's been absolutely electric. Sean Kelly has been brought in. He's done very well in the last few outings. He's going to make the team. Valverde made some noise early on. Hasn't pitched as well in his last few outings, but there was some talk of Papa Grande making the ball club as well. You've got three lefties all going for it. Torres, Rierich, and Garces. Rierich and Garces have been outstanding and especially tough versus the left-hand batters, so it's an interesting situation. I think there's going to be some tough decisions to be made and some guys that are really disappointed at the end of spring training that they didn't make the club.
Bob Scanlon joining us on the Corky's Hotline from Scottsdale, getting ready for Padre baseball coming up at the top of the hour. They're taking on the Diamondbacks today. It'll be Odrysamir Despaigne going against right-hander Chase Anderson. Bob, I want to talk a little bit about Will Myers, and I do want to talk about that third base situation as well. Will Myers, how has he looked out in center field?
I think he's gotten better as spring has gone on. I think early on there were a couple plays that I was a little surprised he didn't get to, but it's gotten stronger and stronger, especially the ball over his head, which, of course, is very difficult here in Cactus League competition. You have the wind that's blowing in most of these places, but even more importantly, you have that bright sun and the high skies. Very difficult for the outfielders. He struggled with a couple early on. The last couple of weeks, some more difficult plays over his head that he's been able to make. So I think it's a work in progress, and he should continue to get stronger at it. But what's really nice from the offensive side is just seeing how healthy he looks. I mean, the wrists are definitely back. He's swinging the bat with authority, driving the ball to all fields, and certainly can be a force at the top of that lineup.
Where's he improved in the outfield? Is he getting better jumps? Does he have the speed to play center, you think, at Petco Park?
I'm still trying to determine that, to be honest with you, Coach. I think he does have speed, but I think that he's still a work in progress with his jumps and his angles. It's a little bit more free in center field, as you know, but again, with these high skies, the winds, the sun, there have been several times where it looks like he's frozen for a second before he's starting to go after it, but that's normal here, you know? And this is a kid that's trying to learn the position a little bit. He's played in some of the corners, but I just feel like he's gotten more comfortable the last couple of weeks in terms of being more determined. When the bat leaves the ball, he knows, hey, I've got to get back on it. And he's hustling back there, and he's putting himself into a better position so that when he does have a chance to get underneath the ball, he can put his glove up, he can fight the sun, he can, you know, deal with the wind, and still make the catch out there. So I think it's just a little bit more of a preemptive effort on his part to get to where he needs to be earlier so that he can make the adjustments at the last second that you need to, especially in these tough conditions.
How you seen the battle at third between Solarte and Middlebrooks?
It's been a great battle. Middlebrooks is outstanding. He is such a good glove man, Coach. He makes everything look easy. I mean, there have been a couple of plays, backhands. He's gone to his left real nicely. And his arm, he never looks like he has to rush to get the throw over there. He looks like he's calm. He's under control. He trusts his arm, and he just throws a dart over there and gets it over there no problem with accuracy. So on the defensive side, he's been outstanding. And offensively, obviously, he has the pop. And again, another guy that's coming off a year of wrist injuries, much like Will Myers, and Middlebrooks showing that he's healthy this year, driving the ball off field. So he's been outstanding. And that being said, so has Solarte. Jan Harris has handled himself nicely at third. He's hitting the ball. Granted, he doesn't hit with as much pop as Middlebrooks does, but he's been very effective at the plate. He's played second base. He's played first base. And the way I see it kind of playing out is, again, I think that the Pods, as we talked about, you know, they kind of wanted Morrow to take that fifth spot. I think they want Middlebrooks to grab that third base job. I think he's done that. And Jan Harris has done such an outstanding job on the rest of the infield that you've got a real solid utility guy back there that can play third, play second, play first, and maybe even some shortstop for a brief period of time if for whatever reason you need to give Barmas and Amarista a day off. But I think, you know, both those guys make the club with Middlebrooks being your primary guy at the hot corner. He's looked great.
How does Tommy Medica make this ball club?
That's a great question. And, you know, you look at the bench, and it's pretty deep because you've got Venable, you've got Maben, you've got Medica, you've got either Barmas or Amarista, whichever one's not playing that day. You've got to have your backup catcher. There's five guys right there. That's not even counting Carlos Quinton and Solarte and all the other guys that we've talked about. So, great question, but Tommy's crushing the ball. I mean, he's hitting over 500, and there's only been two bloop hits out of all those. So he's having outstanding spring training. I'm starting to look at who has options left, and that's sort of the list that I've been going down the last couple of days, Coach, in terms of who's movable. It has nothing to do with who's doing well. It has nothing to do with what's fair. It has nothing to do with who deserves it because they were on the team last year. It comes down to how many guys can we keep. And it's a nice position to be in for the Padres because there's so many guys that are playing well this spring.
Bob Scanlon joining us on the Corky's Hotline here on the Mighty 1090. Bobby, yesterday, Derek Norris, 2-for-3, a two-run homer, his first of the spring. Prior to that, 3-for-32. What are you seeing out of Norris, not only defensively, but what are you seeing out of him offensively?
Well, obviously a big day for him yesterday to finally get that first home run. And he's a guy with a lot of moving parts in his swing. And I sort of saw it. Again, I evaluate hitters and from a pitcher standpoint. You know, if I'm standing on that mound, how am I going to pitch this guy? What are the things that I'm looking for? And I saw, you know, he has the high leg kick. He has some hands that move. So a lot of moving parts, which oftentimes can be nice timing devices for guys, but they may take a little longer to get into that rhythm. So, you know, off to a slow start in spring training, but to see him hit that home run yesterday to get his base hit, obviously those are good signs for him. And, you know, he's trying to work with this pitching staff and learn all these guys. You know, he's new to the organization. He's new to the league. He's new to having to learn, you know, 30 pitchers in camp from the first day on. So I think he's finally getting to a point where it's settling down a little bit. He's starting to work primarily with the pitchers that he's going to be with during the season. He's getting comfortable in the clubhouse, getting comfortable with the guys, and obviously starting to get comfortable at the plate with his hitting as well with the home run yesterday. So hopefully all that going in the right direction, ready for opening day.
And, Bob, the final question, and right now the Padres got six outfielders. They got their former starting outfield, Quinton, Maben, and Venable, mm-hmm. and they got the new guys with Upton and Myers and Kemp. Do you expect some kind of a trade possibly before opening day?
I do. I don't think A.J. Preller is done by any means. And as dynamic as he was during the offseason, it's been quiet here in spring training, but that's pretty normal. In fact, they made a waiver claim today. They picked up a young pitcher from the Kansas City Royals who had been traded over there from the Houston Astros. So they're constantly looking. And he's got a directive out to all of his people. Says, we need to find talent. We need to find players. And these guys are constantly looking. Now, this is the time of spring training where things start to pick up again, because teams start to, you know, getting down to the last week and a half here. What do we have? What do we need? And this is where things start to happen. And obviously the Padres still have a plethora of outfielders, and they need to move some of these guys. It'll be curious to see what AJ does, because by no means do I think he's done. I don't think he'll ever be done. I think he's going to be one of these guys that's always looking to improve his ball club and is not going to sit tight.
Well, it also keeps the ball players on the 25-man roster on their toes.
It really does, because, you know, there's accountability. You know what? And there's a new directive here in San Diego, which is we're here to win championships. Mike Diaz said it from the top, and it's carried all the way down. And you know, on the one hand, that puts pressure on guys, and on the other hand, that's what, hey, you want to be a major league player, you want to play for a championship club, that's what everybody says they want to do. Well, if you want to do that, then you better step up your game, and guys understand that now.
Hey, Bob, you and Ted have a great call. Look forward to seeing you back in San Diego.
Look forward to it, Coach. Great talking with you.
There you go. Bob Scanlon joining us on the Corky's Hotline.
The Mighty 1090 Hotline is presented by Corky's.
Call 1-800-901-1102. Corky's!